What's going on? I Hate Average Podcast. Back another week, another episode. It's been a while since I talked to you guys. Excited, extremely excited to get back to it. Much needed hiatus just to clear my head and really get my passion back to talking to you guys. So thank you guys for your patience. Thank you guys for your continued support. But we back. I Hate Average Podcast. We back. And I got a very, very special guest. I got Dimitri from the Make It Rain podcast. How's it going, Dimitri?
What's good, Jay? I'm doing good.
Man.
What's up, everyone?
Yeah. I'm excited to talk to you. I think last time we did an episode was last year's playoffs. So it's fun to catch up with you again after we just concluded this year's playoffs. But Before we get to the playoffs, what do you think about the whole bubble experience? Do you think was it a good experience, or you kind of missed the old NBA?
So as an NBA fan, I was very happy that basketball came back. It didn't matter if it was like fans in the stand. I was just happy for basketball to come back because we were deprived of it for like, you know, three or four months. You know, the networks were airing like an NBA 2K tournament and they were airing Horse, and they were also airing reruns of like championship games or key games, and I was just like, I really miss basketball.
Yeah, that's true.
So I was really happy when, you know, everything came down when they announced that the NBA was coming back. The only thing I had an issue with, it was just during a time of, you know, where there was a lot of political unrest with, you know, I mean, a lot of social injustice.
Yeah.
So that was the only thing I was, you know, I didn't think they had good timing, but I'm glad the NBA came back. And I just want to give a shout out to the NBA because the NBA had no COVID cases throughout their entire bubble experience.
Yeah, so the experiment worked. The experiment worked.
Yeah, so it worked.
And it's difficult. Like you said, the social unrest, that was a lot. That was major. And people were saying, they was kind of criticizing the NBA when it was first coming back, saying the timing was bad and it was going to be a distraction. I think sometimes a distraction is good. I don't know. I know things was tough and you want to focus on change, but sometimes you need that just to, if it's just an hour or two, just to take a mental break, right? I think the timing was necessary.
For me, I always thought like in the beginning, I always had the feeling like when the NBA players were they were better using their platform when they were together. So that's why I thought, you know, it was good that they were in the bubble, you know, like basically hammering down about social injustice, like every time.
Definitely.
So at first I was one of those, like, I didn't think they should have like canceled the season because of that. I always wanted them to resume the season because I knew that they could do more with, you know, more together with their platform. And like, obviously if you have LeBron spearheading everything, like everyone's going to listen to LeBron.
Of course. Yeah. Like you said, if you're not playing, you have no platform, right? You just basically be on social media just like the rest of us. But when you have a million eyes on you, you could say something in an interview, or you could wear a t-shirt, or you could, you know, draw more attention. I think, like you said, all of them together draws more attention than them just at home, just putting things out on social media.
But yeah.
But the overall experience, to me, I was sketchy. I was like, how's this gonna work? And just basically all it was just a gym. I said, like, how's this gonna work? But the level of basketball was extremely high. I think players were a lot more competitive than I thought they would be. How do you feel about the level of play?
I thought the level of play was excellent from the jump, from the first regular season game, the Lakers at Clippers. Yeah. Basketball was excellent, excellent play.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree. And you got, to me, I think you got some good storylines coming into next season after seeing the way some teams ended the season, even though there was only one winner, but some teams showed more promise than you thought they would in the bubble. So I think they could build on that. So I think the league is going to be a lot more competitive next year.
Yes, we're I'm looking forward to it. People, don't sleep on the Warriors.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely not.
And then you have KD and Kyrie in Brooklyn.
Yeah, definitely. You got them. You got Phoenix looking like they're coming together. They might get some pieces in free agency. So they're gonna be scary.
They went eight and oh in the seeding games.
Yeah.
They didn't lose one game.
Yeah. Yeah, so they look good.
I was saying, man, you got to build a bubble up in Phoenix.
You might have to, right? That's the best they looked since the 90s.
they didn't look that good since the 90s or since, like, the Steve Nash, Amari Stoudemire days.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. And people were saying that Giannis might be looking at other teams. Phoenix might be a good spot for him.
I mean, yeah, I think Giannis should stay in Milwaukee.
Hmm.
I think it was I know everyone had a same playing field, but when you really look at Milwaukee, they were always, like, even in the playoffs, they were always just good at home. They were never really good on the road, and they kind of just got exposed because, you know, the Heat was just a better matchup for them.
Yeah. You could tell the Heat wanted it more.
I guarantee you, though, if that was in Milwaukee, most of us would have taken Milwaukee, and I think Milwaukee would have won that series.
Yeah.
If it was home court.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't think Miami would have had that same fight, you know, with the traveling and all of that, the fans heckling. And honestly, because the bubble was in Florida, it kind of was a little bit of a home court for Miami.
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised Orlando didn't do that well.
Yeah. I mean, they had one win against Milwaukee. They had one big win.
Yeah, I think that was game one, and then everyone, like, pulled the brakes on Milwaukee and was like, oh, Milwaukee, like, fraudulent.
Yeah.
After Orlando won the first game, and it's like, oh, what's going on with Milwaukee?
That is true. But they did have some flaws. They did have flaws.
I was just like, guys, calm down. Milwaukee got this.
Yeah.
Nothing to worry about.
Okay, but they did kind of expose that. If you kind of could double or kind of take Giannis out of the game, Milwaukee, who do they got?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I just think it's just like, for me, I mean, Budenholzer is a good coach, but he just like, for me, Giannis can't be the point forward.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, first of all, their half court offense is just trash.
Nah,
like,
it's just
not good.
That's true.
So, you know what I was saying, first of all, you need a better point guard because Bledsoe's just not doing it for you.
But they just paid him, so he's not going anywhere.
They should have kept Brogdon, but you need to, like, he needs to be the actual point guard, and you need to find Giannis in his spots. Like, don't make Giannis the one handling the ball all the time. Yeah. Put Giannis in the, you got to put him in the block.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And Giannis, he's a great, great player, but maybe it was out of desperation, but he's not a great decision maker. So he's not the best point forward because he made some bad, like he's drives into traffic. He makes some bad passes. He makes some great passes too, but he makes mistakes when he tries to be the point forward. So I think, like you said, put him on the block, let him work there.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Giannis played like he's getting better at playmaking, but like what you said, like there's still some like, you know, key turnovers, and he's just like he still has to work on his shot because he does is drive to the rim.
Exactly. Yep. And he drives into three people.
Yeah, I mean, you drive into three people, you either gotta kick it out or, you know, maybe hope for a foul, but you know, sometimes you're not gonna get a foul.
Yeah, it's true.
But if he worked on his handle, he worked on his shot, you know, he can create.
That, I mean, if he develops a three, if he becomes like a 35-36% 3-point shooter or even a 40% 3-point shooter, he's gonna be unstoppable.
I think Milwaukee needs more, like, they need more people to create shots for themselves.
Exactly, yes.
Only Middleton can create his own shot.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And Middleton doesn't, he's not consistent. He does it, you could tell when he gets frustrated and he just takes over the game, but you need to play like that the whole game.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah.
He's very inconsistent. He needs to be more consistent.
Yeah. So what do you think about Luka's performance?
Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
He did very well. I was very impressed with him. I think Dallas is going to be a team in the future to look out for. You know, him and Porzingis. I always say they got like a little European league down there.
Yeah, they do.
They gotta work on their defense a little bit because they can't stop anyone. But offensively, they're mad potent.
Yeah. And like we said with Milwaukee, if they're at home, I can't see too many teams beating them at home like that if they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, Dallas will, like, they'll blow you out the gym.
Yeah. That crowd will be shaking, the stadium will be shaking, and it'll be. Got Mark Cuban screaming at you from the sideline. It'd be crazy.
Like, if they're hot, they're hot.
Yeah.
But, you know, they just got to work on the defensive side of the ball a little bit. Luka's only going to get better.
Yeah,
you know, Porzingis is going to get better.
I don't got the money to really bet, but if I could really bet a lot of money, I could guarantee there's no way the Lakers repeat next year.
You said repeat?
Yeah, it's no way. Because there's too many teams. It's too many teams that's going to be a lot better next year than they was now. So it's kind of, I don't see any way that the Lakers can repeat.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to repeat.
Yeah. What's going on with your team with Boston, man? They kind of choked, but they underperformed, underwhelmed in the Eastern Conference finals.
You really want to know what happened? I will tell you what happened.
All right.
Hero ball.
Mm.
Hero ball is what happened.
Yeah.
Basically, my turn is my turn, your turn between Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
And then Kemba's a liability on the defense. So you can't, like, he couldn't even be played, like, in the fourth quarter.
That's true.
And, like, and Boston, like, just didn't know how to, like, close games. Like, the only games they won coming from the Toronto series and the Miami series was when they blown out teams.
That's true.
But all the close games, Boston lost.
Yeah, and Marcus Smart, come on, was he taking 20 shots a game? Marcus Smart was going crazy. He was hitting a couple of them, but I think Marcus Smart was doing a little bit too much than the team really wanted him to do.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Jalen was really good. He probably should have got the ball more.
Yeah.
But and the Celtics couldn't figure out the zone for the life of them.
I don't know why. And you have a college coach. You have a college coach. I don't know how you don't know how to do the zone.
Yeah. No, it was very frustrating to watch, but don't know. I tell people that I'm low-key kind of glad that we lost to Miami instead of L.A.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I wouldn't want to lose the Lakers.
But honestly, I think they would have gave the Lakers a harder matchup than Miami would have, because you guys could score a lot more than Miami. Miami basically had Jimmy Butler and half of Bam Adebayo, half of him. But so I think you guys have a lot more weapons, so it might have went seven.
Yeah, might have, but it was just, oh, I would have been so salty though.
Yeah. You don't want to lose to the Lakers.
You're right, lose to LA Lakers, yeah. And LeBron.
Yeah. That would have been tough. That would have been tough, man.
Dude, I don't know if they were playing the 2010 finals, you know, with like Kobe and like Powell, and I'm still salty from that.
That was a great game. That game seven. That was a great game.
It was bad. We were up three quarters too. I don't know.
Yeah. But it adds to the allure of Kobe. So you lost for a good cause. How about that? Y'all lost for a good cause.
Yeah, Kobe was my guy. Rest in peace. Kobe was my guy.
Definitely, yeah.
He was my dude, and I was trolling people because you know how in Game Five, Miami beat the Lakers in the Black Mamba jerseys.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I was like, oh wow, I was shocked.
Yeah,
I thought the Lakers were gonna close this out.
I thought so. Honestly, I'm surprised at LeBron. LeBron usually when closeout games or games like that, he's just takes over the game and scores like 30, 35 points. But even game five and game six, I don't know what LeBron, he was kind of like trying to defer too much, I think.
I think it was like the rest of the team. I think he got 40 in game five, I think.
He got 40. It didn't seem like a LeBron takeover game.
I know it was close. With Miami, if you keep the game close, like they have, like it's like an 80% chance that they could win that game.
Yeah, and Spoelstra, he's a way better coach than I thought he was. I thought, you know, he just was winning championships because of LeBron and Wade, but he really is a really good coach.
Yeah, definitely. He's a great coach.
So what do you think about the collapse of the collapse of the Clippers?
I'm not trying to hate because, you know, I'm not gonna hate on LeBron's path, but literally you cannot tell me with a straight face that the Clippers like were not a threat to the Lakers.
Oh, of course.
Like literally once Denver just got in there, we all knew the Lakers gonna make the finals as soon as Denver got into the conference finals. All right, the Lakers gonna win this in five.
It was over before it started. Exactly. It's like the two biggest threats to the Lakers lost, like the Celtics lost and the Clippers lost, so it was kind of a smooth road to the championship.
Yeah, he had a smooth road. Hey, I mean, credit LeBron. LeBron held his hand, and the Clippers didn't.
It's true.
Well, you know, they had an epic collapse, and I don't even blame the whole thing on Kawhi. I think Kawhi did his thing, except for Game 7.
Yeah. Well, Game 7, I think they quit. I think they quit. They didn't want to be there anymore.
I just don't understand because they had double digit leads too, and then they were like it was like a 30 or 40 point turnaround in game seven.
They had
like a 10 point, 12 point lead coming into the half.
Yeah, that was either they wanted Doc fired. That's the way they played. It was like, you know, we tired of this guy, let's get him out of here. And now they got.
But I, I don't know why. I was not an advocate for Doc getting fired because I'm just like, well, I mean, run it back. Run the team back. They obviously had chemistry issues.
No, but that's the thing. Chemistry, he could have been the chemistry issue. It could have been him.
Yeah, he could have.
Because I don't think the chemistry issues was with Kawhi and Paul, because Kawhi wanted Paul. You know, they planned to go there together, so I'm assuming they got a pretty good relationship. So I think it could have just been the coaching issues. And Doc is old school, so I could assume, you know, he has some ways that the newer players probably wasn't feeling too much.
Well, the thing is, they need, like, they don't have, like, a leader in that, like, locker room.
You're right, yeah.
Because, you know, Kawhi's not that guy. He does everything himself.
You're right. They need, like a Udonis Haslem kind of player.
Yeah.
Honestly, those are the type of teams that always win championships. I think, what was it? Jared Dudley was that for the Lakers this year. Udonis Haslem was that for the Miami Heat this year. I think you're always going to have those guys who knows what the coaches want but can relate to the players and, you know, have them, you know, kind of go with the game plan.
So what did you think of – what did you think of both, like, Denver's miracle run?
It was pretty good, but I think that was a bubble run. That's not happening.
No, that's
in
not
the regular playoffs. That's not happening. But that was a bubble run, which is yeah. Fun. It looked great. I was excited. I knew they wasn't going to beat the Lakers, but it was exciting.
Yeah, no, I was excited. It was exciting to see. I was just like, I was depressed that they beat the Clippers. I was like, all right, wow. I mean, okay, they're gonna face the Lakers. And
yeah, that's true.
Literally, it was basically like, all right, once they face the Lakers, like, no one, who's gonna guard the paint for Denver? LeBron and AD are just gonna go off.
And AD killed them, man. AD killed them. Oh, man. Well, AD killed Miami, too. AD, he's really, really, really good. He's better than I've seen him in the last couple years.
Well, I mean, all they got to do is feed the block. Feed the block.
Yeah, it's true.
And, you know, AD was hitting those, like, stare down jump shots.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, this is a 7-footer doing that. This is crazy. This is crazy. Yeah. But I was really impressed. Like you said, with the zero positive COVID test, which is amazing. I think sports period could have did something similar. I know, like, football is a little more difficult because it's so many people, so many teams, so many trainers and all of that. But I think all sports should have at least looked at it to try to figure it out, because it's kind of a foolproof plan. If everybody's negative, you know, how's COVID going to get in there? If nobody got it, how's it going to get in there? So I think that was a great plan.
I think the NFL just, like, they just didn't prepare.
Yeah.
Like, and they had the most time to prepare and they just didn't. And,
exactly. You
know, and they, I mean, it's obvious that they just want their season to go because they want their money.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've been saying that they're not going to put the season on hold unless, you know, there's, like, divine intervention.
Yeah. But to me, I say it like this. The NBA had one bubble. The NFL has so much money. They could have had maybe 5 bubbles around the country, and these would be like the hub spots where we play at one stadium, and we're going to all fly private, and everybody's going to always get tested, and you have these hub areas, and all these areas are going to be bubbles. And I think that's where you can keep all the players safe and COVID negative.
Yes, no, I mean, I agree. I think they should have had multiple bubbles.
Yeah.
And I think they should at least look at what baseball's doing, because I know in baseball they have the bubble for the playoffs.
Yeah. True. Yeah. And baseball is they play every single day. So that, you know, it's,
yeah.
And
I mean, baseball was bad at first, but then, you know, they got their stuff together.
Yeah, it's true. Well, to me, baseball is always bad until the playoffs. The playoffs is always a lot more interesting. I can't really get into the regular season of baseball.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not into it at all. I find it boring.
Yeah, but I think the NFL should have did it. Because Cam Newton missed a huge game. That would have been so big for the NFL. Cam Newton against Patrick Mahomes. Well, that would have been so huge with the ratings, and I'm assuming the game would have been great, and I think the Patriots might have won that game. That would have been great for storylines and all of that, and you missed that because you didn't take care of one of your star players.
Yeah. And they haven't, like, planned, like, for when things are going to be – they haven't planned well for when things are going to be rescheduled.
Yeah, they're playing on a Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, like, how could there be no contingency plan? How could you just be winging it? This is the $1 trillion business and you're just winging it.
Yeah, no, I don't know, man. I do not know.
Yeah, it's crazy. But
NFL is all about their money. That's their, like, bottom line. We're gonna play the season and get our money.
And some places got fans, like 10,000 fans, but they supposed to be spread out, but they don't look spread out on TV. But it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. So how in Boston, how is COVID? Is things still shut down, or some restaurants open, or?
No, but Massachusetts is pretty open.
Okay.
You have your restaurants. The only thing that's not open are, like, bars and, like, nightclubs and all that.
Okay. Which is smart, yeah. Which is
smart. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of getting worse right now.
Oh, really?
But I don't know if they're going to, like, shut things down again, but the COVID numbers are going up. Positivity, like, rates going up. I think it's like 3% like that.
Yeah, it's getting scary. But to me, I think my conspiracy theory. I think we all gonna end up. It's gonna be kind of inevitable that we all gonna end up getting it. It's just the main thing is just having the systems in place, the medicines, and all the things that to basically care for you when you do have it.
I think what we're doing, we're basically trying to like adapt to COVID instead of like trying to get rid of it.
Yeah, you're right. But can you get rid of it?
That's the question. I don't know.
That's the thing.
I do not know.
I'm assuming that, like you said, you don't want to adapt to it, but you kind of want to just put systems in place where things can function in a way that people, you know, kind of could still be healthy, right? You like we said with the bubbles, like they should have had maybe like 6 bubbles for the NFL, or, you know, it should be ways where businesses can open it, but in safe ways. I don't think that the powers that be are thinking like that. Like I said, people are just trying to adapt and go with the flow instead of really coming up with plans to have things go, but go in a way where people could be safe.
Yes, I agree with that.
It's tough.
It's tough. I hope. Yeah, and I don't know. Like, I don't know why masks are political to people. Like, y'all should wear a mask.
Yeah,
you know, it's true. You should wear a mask. And if you're gonna complain about wearing a mask, don't complain when you're in the hospital.
Exactly. And
Don't complain when you need ICU back.
Yeah, and honestly, I think it shouldn't have been political. It should have been right away. They should have said, all right, this new thing is here. The best way to combat it is everybody got to wear a mask, and which is basically the rule now, but that should have been with the information that they had. I felt that should have been the rule right away to kind of mitigate some of the numbers, because people are going to get it. People are still getting it, but I think the numbers are nowhere near what it was in March and April. So I think they should have made masks mandatory a little sooner.
I agree, but the problem is you have the president of America making fun of this.
Yeah.
he doesn't want to wear his mask. He literally said, "Oh, it was like, you know, a blessing from God that he had COVID."
Well, you also got to know he's saying that to a specific people, a specific type of person. He's not talking to all of us. He's talking to a specific type of person who are Trumpers, and he's trying to make sure that he still keeps his supporters. So I know what he's doing. I know what he's doing. He's crazy, but he's doing it for a reason.
Oh, no, I know. He's crazy.
Yeah, he is. Before we started this, I was watching his town hall, and he was just going off. They was telling him, do you denounce white supremacy?
Yeah.
He said, why do you keep asking me this? Are you asking Joe Biden, is he going against Antifa? Ask him that. Don't ask me about white supremacy. He was going off. I said, oh, man, let me start this podcast. It's getting crazy, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. That's why, like I said earlier, I think the bubble was important. I think sports are important for this country, because I think we'll be going crazy right now if that's all we had to deal with was people fighting about masks, the president fighting about Antifa and feeling 20 years better since he had COVID and all of that. If that's all we had to intake, I think we'll go crazy. So sports are important.
Yeah, no, I definitely thought like it was good to have. It's like a good thing to, I don't want to say it's like a distraction. It is kind of like a distraction, but like it's a good distraction because you want to get away. Like, you know, that's how sports is, how people, you know, come together. They, you know, they talk about their, you know, their favorite teams and all that. And that's, you know, how people, you know, bond.
It's a great equalizer, because there are people who are Trump lovers who, let's say you're a Boston guy, so it's Trump lovers who love the Celtics, just like you love the Celtics. So it creates a common ground. You know, while people are fighting about things, it creates a common ground. So I think it's definitely important.
And with this, the NBA, and also I want to credit the WNBA, they also raised a lot of, like, you know, social issues, like social injustice issues. Like, it's not the NBA's job for that to happen.
No, definitely not. I think they
all these sports athletes, you know, they've been using their platform, you know, for good.
Yeah.
And to try to educate people on what's going on.
Yeah, I think it's definitely important. And I think, even though I don't always love what they're doing, but I think social media kind of pressured the players to do it. I don't always love social media, you know, canceling people and all that, but I think it was important for them to put pressure on those who kind of make their living off of our support, to put pressure on them to kind of put our issues out there. And I think they did a great job.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. So I say the best.
And they're doing and on the NBA, they were like, you know, they keep saying, like, you keep seeing voting ads everywhere.
Yeah, it's true.
That's gonna be very important for this election.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I can see voter turnout being record numbers, higher than Obama's first presidency. It's gonna be really, really interesting. I was looking. I don't want to make turn this into a political podcast, but I was speaking to someone at work, and I was looking at the map of what's it called, the Electoral College.
Yeah.
And yes, people are going to get out to vote, but looking at the map of the states that Trump won, I'm a little afraid it don't look too much different than what I'm assuming might be in November. Like, a lot of these states are, they're very, very, very extremely conservative. And I don't know if, but someone was telling me so much has happened that they got to change. So I'm trying to stay positive.
Yeah.
It's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I just hope, you know, things can, you know, turn around for the good.
Yeah, definitely. So in Boston, like when a lot of the protests was going on, how was Boston? Was it safe? Was people looting it and things like that in Boston, or things kind of was just staying pretty calm?
It's been pretty calm up here. Hasn't been that much of that. There's been a lot of peaceful protests in Boston.
Oh, that's great. That's great. In New York, it's been a lot of peaceful protests. It's probably protests every single day. When things first happened, it got a little crazy. But I think the frustration is understandable, right? I couldn't really condone them. Usually I'm like, come on, people, stop it. But I couldn't condone it. I was like, you know what? If it got to burn, it got to burn, man.
the frustration was, it really was. And like, I was even frustrated too.
Yeah, it was crazy. But I'm optimistic. I think people, because like you said, the conversation and raising awareness, and I think because people are talking about it, I think it's going to come to a place where people are going to know that a lot of the stuff that we are fighting about is nonsense, and we just got to come together and come on a common ground. And and sports is very pivotal with that. And I just hope the NFL could keep going. That's all we got right now. Baseball's just about done. When is NBA? I think they're going to start around Christmas.
I think they're saying January.
Okay. That should be cool. Honestly, so,
what do you think about that? Do you think, because there a lot, Adam Silver, I think he's been on record saying, I mean, obviously they want it to be safe, but he does want to return to the arenas and get fans in the stand.
I don't know. I like the bubble, but I know he has to think about the owners and financial reasons. But to me, I like the bubble.
Especially, I like the bubble.
And especially now, like, if you could, you know, this is the safe, you've proved this is the safest way to do it. I think just continue until we can come up with a cure or we could eradicate COVID right now. I think that's the best thing for the players and the fans.
The thing with the bubble, though, I feel like they would have to take breaks.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Like, yeah.
I mean, you could be there for like two or three months at a time and then take a break.
Yeah, that would make sense. That would make sense. Because I think a lot of teams broke down because they was getting tired of being in the bubble. What was it, three or four months? It was a lot. Yeah,
that's a long time.
Yeah. And I think for the first 2 months, they was away from their families, so it's tough.
Yeah.
But I think also things are opening up a little bit more. If you do the bubble next year, you can just have your family come with you, which I think things might be a little, you know, players can adapt to that a little bit better.
I mean, even that, you could have a separate bubble maybe. Or I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, it's true. Just that you could have the bubble that the WNBA was using. That could be the family, and then y'all could just, you know, go through, have buses or something, safe buses or something like that. But, man, so let me know what's going on. So you said the top of the year, you should be getting back to Make It Rain podcast.
What'd you say? Can you repeat that?
You said next year you should be getting back to Make It Rain podcast.
Yes, the Make It Rain podcast should be coming back in 2021.
Nice, 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 man. So what do you think about the podcasting space? Because the last time we spoke, so much has changed. I'm sure. I know you're someone that really pays attention to the podcasting, the business of it. So what do you think about it with so many deals being made and different streaming services making moves? How do you feel about the way things are going?
I just feel now that, you know, we are all, you know, like stuck in our homes. I mean, more people can do a podcast.
Yeah.
So it's open. It's out to everyone.
Yeah.
And so that means, you know, more opportunities, you know, for people to get, notice and all that.
Definitely. So as a podcaster, I don't think I ever asked this question. As a podcaster, what's like maybe a weekly four podcasts that every week, this does your four that you always listen to every week. Can you give me four? If you have any.
Podcasts that I listen to?
Yeah. On a weekly basis.
I honestly don't really listen to much podcast. I should, so, you know, I can take advice and put, you know, use their things on my podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't really listened to podcasts that much in a while.
Okay. So you've really been quarantined. You really just been laying low.
Oh yeah, I've been laying low. I haven't done much.
And that's a good thing though, man. That's honestly the safest way. 2020 been so crazy. It's best to lay low, man.
I know. It was just like, all right. It was just like, boom, it's over. Just wait. I was originally going to come back when the NBA started, but then I was just like, oh, why don't I just wait till like 2021?
Yeah, because honestly, the NBA season was kind of touch and go. Like, you watching it, but you're like, are they going to keep going? You kept thinking, like, maybe they're going to stop now.
So I don't. If you ask me about the regular season, I didn't even remember what happened in the regular season.
It's true.
It was like so long ago.
It's true.
Like when they were doing MVP for Giannis or LeBron, I was like, yo, just
why is Giannis getting this, right?
I was literally like, pick either one. I mean, like, I honestly don't know what happened. I knew that Milwaukee had the best record and Giannis was consistent, and I knew that the, you know, LeBron, like, the before the NBA shut down, the Lakers were like on a roll.
Yeah. Honestly, I didn't know specifics. I think the Lakers is going to be on a historic, because I think that last weekend they beat Milwaukee, they beat the Clippers, and then the next day everything shut down. I was like, oh man, I think that the Lakers is ready to really, really make a run.
Now, if Bron had a couple more weeks, he probably would have gotten MVP.
Yeah, absolutely. If they would have played to,
because they didn't count the bubble play as MVP. It was like once the season shut down.
Yeah. I mean, that's when Bron really started building back up. So it was gonna get interesting.
Oh, he had some time to rest. Oh. I mean, he had a good year because he didn't even make the playoffs last year.
Nah, he had a phenomenal year. And if you, you don't remember the regular season, but they started off rocky, and then they started getting better towards the end.
Yeah. So what do you think, real quick, on the because you know a bunch of people are comparing him to Jordan, and you know some people a lot of the younger generation think LeBron is the GOAT, and LeBron has claimed himself to be the GOAT in 2016 when he came back from that 3-1 deficit to the Warriors.
What
are your thoughts on that?
I'm a Jordan guy. It's just my age, but I'm a Jordan guy. I'm gonna say Jordan is the GOAT only because I think he had more. It's more of a mental thing. I think it's certain things that he wouldn't have done that LeBron has done. It's because he just had that competitive spirit. LeBron may be physically a better player because, what's he, 6'8", 250, and he could pass so great. He might be physically a better player, but that edge is a certain edge that Mike had that you kind of got to give it to him.
My thing is because GOATs. Jordan cringes when you call him the GOAT. And so does Tom Brady. Tom Brady don't like when you call him the GOAT.
Yeah, because both of those guys are so crazy that because Jordan probably in his mind, if you talk to him privately, he probably think, you know, I could go for training for three months and go back out there. Because I think they cringe because they think they could do more. And those guys got that competitive spirit where they feel that they could do more. So they don't call me the GOAT until I'm dead because they feel they could do more.
I think LeBron needs to finish his career. I personally don't like these conversations because I think, you know, both of them are great in their own ways.
Yeah,
LeBron at the end of this is going to have all this. LeBron's going to be better statistically than Jordan. The only thing is that Michael Jordan is, you know, 6'6", and that in the mental edge. But yeah, like they're both great in their own ways.
Yeah,
I'm personally taking Jordan because, you know,
for the mental,
you said, and you know I'm an old head too.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. I'm always like, when they always discuss this on sports radio, I'm just like, man, give this a rest.
Yeah.
But, like, LeBron doesn't help this case because you heard him on the interview. He was, like, demanding respect.
Come on. You're LeBron James.
We all respect you. Okay? All right? We all respect you. Anyone who knows basketball knows that LeBron is top five all time.
Yeah.
All right. So and we now
I could say top three, maybe top three.
He's the greatest small forward of all time. He's on the Mount Rushmore. What do you mean with all this disrespect?
Most
people had the Lakers at the beginning of the season winning this championship as soon as you got AD, and you're talking about respect.
Yeah.
Like.
But that's what he does it to himself too. Because why beg to get AD if you feel you're the greatest player? It's a deep conversation with LeBron. It's a deep conversation. But yes, you are one of the GOAT. You're on Mount Rushmore, but you also beg to get AD on your team. So you didn't feel that you could win it without him. I think Jordan is the type he feel he could win it without him. And that's why I gave him a little bit of the edge. He could,
like, what was Scottie Pippen like ever top five like of what like LeBron had?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so.
No. And Jordan made Scottie better.
Yeah.
And Scottie was drafted to, you know, it's not like Jordan begged to get Scottie on the team. He just happened to be on the team.
Oh yeah, he was drafted to a Bulls.
Yeah. But LeBron, he begs for all-stars to come to his team or he begs to join their team. So it's a different mindset, and that's the only reason why. I'm not skill level, I could say the equal, or I might give the edge to LeBron's skill level. But that mental edge, who I would want on my team, it'll be Michael Jordan.
Exactly.
Well, Dimitri, man, thank you so much for your time, man. It was fun talking to you again. We got to do this again soon. Hopefully, we could do when the NFL playoffs, man. Are you still a Patriots fan without Tom Brady?
Yeah. I mean, I am. I just, like, I like football, but I'm not, like, as, like, I am with, like, basketball. All
right. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do when the season's about to start, we could do a season preview.
Yeah, we could do that.
All right, man. All right. Thanks again, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.